This table has been prepared for us to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We worship Christ because he has proven himself to be the one true God. And through Christ, we are able to know the one true God. In Acts chapter 17, Paul preached to pagans who didn't know the gospel. If you would turn over there with me to Acts chapter 17. In this chapter, Paul is in Athens. Ancient Athens at that time, they excelled in philosophy. They were also very polytheistic. They had thousands of gods that they worshipped. So when Paul started to preach about Jesus in the resurrection, they took him to a place called Mars Hill. Now, Mars Hill at the time in ancient Athens was a very significant place. This was the highest court in Greece. So Paul is taken here to explain what he's talking about when something catches his attention. Acts chapter 17, I'll start in verse 22. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.'" Again, the Greeks had thousands of gods that they worshipped, but they were still making an altar to a god that they were ignorant to. Of course, this is strange, but they were so superstitious, and they didn't want to upset a god that they may have missed, so that's why they made this altar. And let's see why Paul points this out, picking up in the last half of verse 23, when Paul says, "What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." Paul is declaring that he knows this unknown God. And this isn't just another God to add to the list of thousands. This God isn't in the form of an idol. This God isn't made by man. This God does not dwell in temples. Paul is making the point that the God they don't know about is the only God that they need to know about. Paul explains that this unknown God is the one true God who has created the world and everything in it. This one God is obeyed by the wind and the waves. This one God heals the sick. He raises the dead. This one God will one day judge the world. Paul continues in verse 30 when he says, "The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." We are currently living in the age where God will judge those who don't know him. The thing is, we can escape judgment by coming to know God. And this is possible because God has made himself known to man by living among us as a man. And this man has proven himself to be God by being raised from the dead. The Greeks were probably wondering, who is this man that was raised from the dead? Well, it's not a mystery anymore, because we are also currently living in the age where God has revealed himself to us. Flip over with me now to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 13. "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Christ is the image of the invisible God. He is the one who has delivered us from darkness, and because of him, we now belong to the kingdom. Christ is the one who can forgive us of our sins. Paul continues in verse 19. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Not only is Christ the image of the invisible God, he is the one that unites us to God. Sin is no longer in between us and God. We just read that we now have peace with God because of the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. Before Christ, we were corrupt, we were blemished with sin, but after coming to know Christ, he has made us holy and blameless before God. Unlike the pagans in Acts chapter 17, we know who the one true God is. This table serves as a reminder of what the one true God did for us. God chose to make himself known to man by becoming man. God chose to make peace with us by dying on a cross. And Christ proved to be God by rising up from the grave. This proves that he is the one that will forgive us of our sins. This proves that he is the only way to the Father. The one true God who has made the heavens and the earth and all of creation has made himself known through Jesus Christ. We have come to know Christ when we decided to deny ourselves and follow him. And when we made this decision to follow Jesus, we are spared from God's judgment. And we have been reconciled with God. When we eat from this table, it is not done out of empty action. It's not done out of ignorance. When we eat from this table, we are acknowledging that we are worshiping the one true living God. We have confidence that we are no longer separated by sin. We are sure that we have peace with the Lord. So during this moment, let's remember what the one true God did for us. He became a man so we can know him. He died so we can be forgiven. And he was raised so we can have life. Let's think about these things as we eat from the table dedicated to the one true living God.